This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06, you're with Kelvin and Hezril. First up this hour, we're looking at an important story, the Golden Jubilee of the Rukun Negara. So it's a big deal because this year marks the 50th anniversary since it was first proclaimed in 1970. And a three-month celebration was launched today by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to overlap with Merdeka and Malaysia Day. There will be special events throughout, including the Insta Challenge, Rukun Negara Hour, Nationhood TED Talk, and many more.
Right, and the Rukun Negara, of course, is the fabric of our society. Following the 1969 race riots, it was formed to heal the country and unite the rakyat. And today, that spirit is evident in our efforts to curb the COVID-19 pandemic. Everyone's come together to play their part, which is why the anniversary is especially significant.
Yep, and that's manifested itself in many ways, whether it's a neighbor checking in on the elderly and offering to buy their groceries, or something as simple as being mindful by keeping our physical distance and wearing a mask in public. And beyond COVID-19, though, the values of the Rukun Negara manifest themselves in the very fact that we're a plural society. We're multiracial, multireligious, and multicultural.
Right, and Tan Sri Muhyiddin captured that spirit in his speech earlier today. He said that, you know, regardless of race, religion, and our backgrounds, we should all have equal access to opportunities and in trying to, you know, lift up the country and the economy.
Yeah, and among other things, right, we are looking at basically just really celebrating and upholding our Rukun Negara, you know, the guiding principles. Tan Sri Muhyiddin said that these things are the key to navigating a future that is going to be more difficult and more challenging, right? And, you know, just looking at some of the things he's covered today, I think really just trying to kick off what it means at this point in time, right? We see many changes going through at this point in time. We are at this point in time also at a time of crisis. So I guess just a reminder as to why the Rukun Negara is so important might be something that we can focus on and take actionable steps towards.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just looking at it, I think we're all familiar with the main 5 points, Keluhuran perlembagaan or kesopanan dan kesusilaan, right? Which I think many of us learned early on in school, but let's not forget that it's actually two parts of that. And the 5 points before those five are actually quite, I guess in a way, radical and ahead of its time. You know, you look at one of them that says, menjamin satu cara liberal terhadap tradisi-tradisi kebudayaannya yang kaya dan berbagai corak. So, you know, trying to be forward and progressive. And I think some of that gets lost when we just focus on the second 5 points. And I guess to build off on your point, it will be interesting to see what the government does beyond these celebrations and finding ways to really reinforce these things and integrate these values in schools so that I think, you know, future generations don't see this as a sort of abstract thing and end it there, right? And to really find ways how maybe this can be incorporated in the workplace and, you know, family values. So I think there's a lot of potential moving forward, and now is the perfect time to reflect on some of these things.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there might be some challenges there, right? Because it is still something that is recited at every assembly in schools. It is something that you are kind of drilled. It's something that's drilled into you, this philosophy of what it is from a very young age. And perhaps along with that, we memorize that. But, you know, with the memorization, do we necessarily take on the meaning and to fully understand what the Rukun Negara actually means, right? And I think that might be a challenge for the government. And how do you critically assess, critically think, and critically apply the Rukun Negara to your life?
Right. And I think speaking of education, it's important, you know, Parliament is only a few days away, the next sitting. And when we look at our public institutions, I guess it's also looking at, you know, how can they serve as examples? You know, how can the way our MPs act in the Dewan Rakyat serve as a model to, you know, try to reinforce these ideals of courtesy and morality and, abiding to the rule of law and just basic common human decency. I hope that that this, I guess the next few weeks we'll take this into account and that we see our government leaders doing their part. I mean, these are small steps, I think, but I think the consequences are huge.
After this, we're going to be joined by Associate Professor Dr. Azim Faswa Ahmad Farouk, Director of the Center for Policy Research and International Studies at USM. So stay tuned for that conversation. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:13 on the evening edition. You're with Kelvin and Hezril, and we are looking at the 50th anniversary of the Rukun Negara. We're now going to cross over to Associate Professor Dr. Azim Faswa Ahmad Farouk, Director of the Centre for Policy Research and International Studies at University Science Malaysia. Dr. Azim, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
What's your take on our relationship with the Rukun Negara?
The way I look at it is the Rukun Negara is a basic principle that all Malaysians should we should have some kind of understanding on what are the basic principles that we as Malaysians should abide to. And I think the Rukun Negara is simple enough for everyone to understand. It should be contextualized within what is called the nation building process, and as a relatively young nation, Malaysians should have a basic understanding of the Rukun Negara.
Right, and why is it so important for us to do so?
I think, you know, we know that the Rukun Negara was put together after the May 13, 1969 racial riots, and as a nation that is made up of various ethnic groups, we need to understand what are the basic principles of nation building, and Rukun Negara provides us with that understanding. And that commonality, I think all Malaysians, regardless of race and ethnicity, should have a basic understanding of what it means to be a Malaysian and what are our basic beliefs insofar as nation building is concerned.
Right. And how do you think its significance and its place in public life has changed over the years?
I think it does not factor into our daily lives as citizens of this country. And I think if you ask most Malaysians on the street today, they wouldn't know that this is the 50th anniversary of Rukun Negara. Because, you know, we don't talk about Rukun Negara on a daily basis. And I think if you talk to the school children today, they might, you know, have some kind of an idea of what Rukun Negara is, but they do not internalize, you know, the principles of Rukun Negara.
So how can the Rukun Negara unite us then, especially in times of uncertainty and discord? And I guess what are some ways to address what you brought up just now, that people don't internalize it?
I think, you know, as a tool for enhancing race relations in Malaysia, I think it provides some kind of referral point whereby we as Malaysians can have some kind of commonality insofar as nation building is concerned, because we know for a fact that, you know, in a country that practices democracy, differences of opinion will always be there, you know, regardless of our differences of opinion on how we should promote the nation. We should have a common ground that everyone can have some kind of understanding, you know, that these are the basic tools for nation building in this country.
You know, I guess the exposure to the Rukun Negara would probably happen in schools, if not much earlier, would be through television and so on. With schools, so I take it that the point for students is always to just try and recite it at any given point during an assembly and so on. How effective is a method like that to getting students and the youth particularly to have a deeper understanding of what the Rukun Negara actually is?
I think reciting Rukun Negara is one thing, but internalizing its meaning is another. And I think the challenge is to somehow make sure that students, you know, maybe at the lower secondary level, would have a deeper understanding of Rukun Negara and why it is there in the first place. And the challenge is that today we are living in the digital world, and most people, and especially the youngsters, do not particularly pay attention to, you know, something like Rukun Negara. It might come across as something that is really mundane to them. So, you know, unless and until we can make something like Rukun Negara is exciting, you know, why should we should raise this question, you know, why should we have some kind of understanding of the Rukun Negara? This is something that is really, you know, cut and dry, but it is really important, you know, insofar as uniting the different ethnic groups in this country is concerned.
And what's the role of public figures and government leaders in perhaps centering the Rukun Negara in their messaging and their communication in a way that, I guess, instills it to the public?
I think, you know, we should make a clear distinction between politicians and other public figures, intellectuals, or maybe, you know, movie stars or, you know, whatever you want to call them. I think it would be better if someone that is really famous and someone that the youth can relate to talk about Rukun Negara as opposed to just politicians, you know. So, you know, someone that is really popular in YouTube or in the social media, you know, that person would be able to send the message across more effectively than, you know, everyday politician. So I think, you know, we need to somehow get a really famous YouTuber or something on board, and that person can in turn, you know, promote the basic understanding of Rukun Negara.
Right.
I think, you know, if you leave it to the politician, you know, it will not happen because the youth won't come on board.
Yeah, and I think part of that might actually also being able to make our understanding of history one that's not only more honest, but one that's also a bit more accessible, I guess. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
And so the government, speaking of the government, seems to be going all out with a 3-month celebration of the Rukun Negara Jubilee. What do you expect to see from these efforts?
You know, as with other campaigns that were done, you know, in the past, I don't think it will, you know, it will not come to fruition because most youngsters will not be with this campaign. So this campaign will come and go. But unless and until you can turn the Rukun Negara into a document that is internalized by the youngsters, you know, the campaign will go down to waste. You know, but the most important thing is, you know, our Independence Day is around the corner in next month. Maybe something can be done, you know, to promote Rukun Negara and to talk about it during the independence in August. You know, August may be designated as the month we achieve our independence, and at the end of the day, maybe we can also talk about Rukun Negara in the context of what had happened in the past and how it can actually strengthen the nation in the future.
Right, and perhaps looking at the importance of the Rukun Negara as well, where would you stand with what's, I guess, the best way to approach it? Right? Is it perhaps through memorizing the lines alone, memorizing what it is alone, or is it just practicing through your actions and the spirit of the Rukun Negara?
I think memorizing should not be something that we promote. Understanding is the most important thing, and you know, with understanding, a person will internalize the values that Rukun Negara hopes to promote. This can be done in various ways. If you turn it into another subject at the school level, it will still be too academic. But you know, the whole idea is to find a way to make the understanding of Rukun Negara exciting, and to tell the youth that it is important to understand the Rukun Negara as a basic principle that we should live by in this country.
Mm. And looking ahead, I guess, and trying to understand how the Rukun Negara will fit into our lives for, you know, the next few decades and centuries, does the Rukun Negara need an update, and is this possible?
Insofar as the Rukun Negara is concerned, I think the basic principles that are laid out in the Rukun Negara is relevant, and you know, for years to come. But the challenge is to make, you know, our citizens understand why we need to live by these principles in the first place. And unless, you know, the basic principles are accepted by the citizens, you know, if it's not accepted by the citizens, then the Rukun Negara is meaningless. I think internalization will make Rukun Negara a document that, you know, is important and respected. I think internalization is something that we need to somehow promote.
On that note, Dr. Azim, thank you so much for those insights.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. You just heard Associate Professor Dr. Azim Faz Mohamad Farouk, Director of the Centre for Policy Research and International Studies at University Science Malaysia, speaking to us about the Rukun Negara, which is seeing its 50th anniversary since it was first proclaimed in 1970. You can send us your thoughts. How do you see, and what are your reflections on the Rukun Negara as it turns 50 this year? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have some music. It's Queen with Don't Stop Me Now. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.